Tape number one, interview with Robert Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, conducted by Peter Donovan at Adelaide Jail on the 31st of May, 1989.
Right, we're on. Rob, can we start by having you tell us how you arrived at the jail and why you were brought to it?
Well, I would have arrived in a paddy wagon or a Mariah or whatever it's called. I was brought here from the court where I was sentenced and delivered at the front door. And I was here as a conscientious non-complier with the National Service Act. So that means I was a draft resistor or a resistor of conscription.
Right, Rob, can we go back again and have you tell us why you were brought to jail?
I was imprisoned as a conscientious non-complier with the National Service Act. That is, I was a draft resistor or an opponent of conscription. I had refused to register for the National Service Act. And my first prison sentence was of 1 week, and that was because I refused to go to a medical, the medical test that was normal for persons conscripted into the army at that time. And then I had a second and a major sentence for refusing to go to Keswick Barracks because by then I had been deemed to be conscripted. This was automatic because of my prior refusal to collaborate with the normal procedures.
When you came to jail, were there many others in the wagon with you, or were you sort of on your own?
Oh, there were a number of other prisoners who'd been sentenced on that particular day, yes. So a group of us would be brought from the courts to the front door.
Mm. What were the other prisoners in for? Any idea? Were you chatting on the way down what you were in for and what you got?
I don't recall chatting with them on that specific occasion, but, of course, inside the jail you might get to talking about what people were in for, although I could remark that it was, in a way, an infringement of prison etiquette to directly ask a person what he was in for. If it came up naturally in conversation or if people volunteered the information, fair enough, but it wasn't considered good manners to just ask a person straight out what they were in for.
Once you came through the door, what happened then?
In the gatehouse, I would have been processed into the jail. I can't remember all the details, but a list had to be made of the property I had brought with me, of items that were going to be kept for me until I was released. And there were all kinds of forms to fill out. But I'm afraid I can't remember all the details. But that took place in the rooms in the gatehouse immediately inside the main door.
Not being a professional prison inmate, what was it like that first time coming in?
Well, it was rather scary the first time, and but that was for just 1 week, and as I was later facing an 18-month sentence, I was later grateful for having had the earlier experience and finding that it wasn't too bad. So the prospect of the 18-month stretch was not quite so frightening. But certainly the first time you come in, you have to be rather nervous, rather apprehensive. You're not sure what you're coming into.
A moment ago, Rob, you suggested that the jail wasn't quite as bad as you had expected. What had you expected, or how did it differ from what you expected?
Well, it's not a matter of what I expected. It was just the fear that it might be an utterly terrible place. And in many ways, it wasn't a happy experience, but it wasn't what I would call traumatic or hardly bearable. So that's why I was making the point that I was glad from that first sentence of 1 week to learn that that I would probably be able to bear an 18-month stretch, yes.
Righto, once you were processed in this little area here, where were you taken?
Well, at the time it's also unfamiliar, and I'm not sure I could give precisely the details, but after going through the rooms in the gatehouse. I think I was taken to some room out towards the centre of the jail where I had to take off my civvy clothes and change into to jail costume. Complete transformation.
A reasonably big fellow. Did you have clothes that fitted?
Well, roughly. You were given a set that roughly fitted, but no one was particularly concerned that they'd be tailored. You just got something that was adequate, and it was the grey prison garb, so no one was concerned about it being a perfect fit, and it certainly didn't look anything but untidy. So you couldn't have physical contact.
We're now standing in the visitor section, in the visiting area, on the prisoner side. Now, Rob, you had some visits whilst you were here. How frequently? Who were they?
Well, I was here in Adelaide Jail quite a short time, and I did have visits from friends and family. I suppose I would have had two or three visits. I think you were allowed a visit once a week on the weekend.
You've suggested the visiting area when you were here is not quite the way it is at the moment.
Well, as I remember it, in 1971, 72, it was not as covered in as it is now, although there were the booths, one for each prisoner. I don't think there was the roofing or the outer walling either at the back or at the front. There was just the system of booths to prevent you from having physical contact with your visitor. Also, I remember the partition between the prisoner and the visitor as being a metal grill rather than glass as it is nowadays. There's a grill now at the bottom, but I remember it as being of a broader mesh and going all the way up. And I also remember that you could just touch fingertips through the grill. It's now much finer, so you wouldn't be able to do that.
You remember that? Was that important?
Yes. Well, my girlfriend was visiting me, so yes, that was important.
Can you say much else? What it was like, again, that first week perhaps, when the whole of the prison was a strange experience?
Well, perhaps one of the reasons I have trouble remembering specific details of when and where about those early days is that it was all so new and bewildering, and you were getting used to the routines and still rather apprehensive about what it might be in the long term.
We're now standing in number 3 yard in front of the induction centre. Rob, what do you remember about this area?
Well, I was here only very briefly for the induction process, and after that I would never have seen this part of the jail again. And really all I remember is that this spot I had to take off my everyday clothes and hand them over for safekeeping until the end of my term in prison, and then I had to put on the prison garb, as I mentioned before. It did seem a sort of transition area where you briefly were reduced to a naked human being, and then you emerged in your new role. So there was that transition from one world to another.
Again, were all of you who came in at the one time processed at the same time?
I think so. Yes. Yes, they brought in a batch in the wagon and processed through in a group.
Where were you told about the routine in this particular jail?
I really can't remember whether I was given a specific talk about the routine. I think I was just introduced to it as whatever was required of me came up.
What What was the prison routine as you remember it, Rob, so in that first time particularly?
Well, you mean the daily routine starting... okay, well, you're woken up by the intercom system. I can't even remember if there was an intercom system here. There certainly was one at Yatala where I was later. You know you have to be ready to come out of the cell at a certain time, so you have to tidy the cell up, and your breakfast comes through the slot in the door. And then you come out and take the toilet bucket out for emptying. And after that you line up and get counted before you go off to your workplace for the day. I was working in the garden during my first week in this jail. It was quite a process getting out to the garden because of all the counting and lining up that had to go on. So the work day wasn't particularly long, and certainly wasn't very hard either. It wasn't anybody's idea of hard labour.
Were you out there all day?
Well, all...
For instance, there is a little dining room over there in the garden.
Yeah, yes, you were out there for all the working day, but that wasn't terribly long because before it's too late, you have to be back and counted up again and given your evening meal and put into your cell. So, and it's still only late afternoon. So.
How were you conscripted to go into the garden? Was it? Did you have a choice, or were you just all these fellows were sent into the garden?
There was no choice about it. I was in for a short time, and that was where I was told I would be working. And it was reasonably pleasant to be able to go out and work in a garden for a few hours.
Hey, we're now standing in the exercise yard near the new building, which Rob was able to remember reasonably clearly.
Yes, well, this was the exercise yard for the week that I was in late 1971, and I remember being impressed by the Victorian aspect of the building, so the Dickensian aspect, I suppose. It all seemed so antiquated and unlike whatever I was used to. And as now, it had asphalt, and my exercise was to walk up and down, usually in conversation with some other prisoner. And that was the exercise for a lot of blokes. But there were facilities for sport, for simple ball games and so on. Seemed to have a reasonable amount of time out here, especially on the weekend. There's plenty of time for conversation with other prisoners. Plenty of time to get bored if you were going to be here for a long time.
What did you talk about with the other prisoners?
Well, the one I was most friendly with was another draft resistor called Ken Witcherly. I didn't know that he was in here, but a prisoner came out to me and said there was another chap in a similar situation to myself. So that's how we met, and I naturally spent most of my time with him. And I guess we... talked about why we're in here and matters like that. With other prisoners, it's hard to say what I specifically talked about here, but my memories of talking with prisoners in Yatala and Cadell, that you range over enormous fields in the course of prolonged periods where you've got lots of spare time. So,
what other sorts of prisoners were here? Did any of them sort of impress themselves upon you?
Well, I got the impression that in this jail they were mostly quite short-term prisoners, and there were a lot of people in working off small fines, and then there were a lot of older derelict prisoners who were in and out because of problems related to drinking or... that there were the big time crims that are more likely to impress themselves on my memory, they were for later at Yatala.
So before you went to the garden, presumably you were lined up in this area here to be counted and whatever.
I'm not sure where we were lined up for the work detail. No.
How did you go out to the work detail? Were you sort of marched out, or did you just sort of people just wander out?
Well, at the appointed time, you had to turn up at whatever spot you were required at to be counted. I remember this constant counting and recounting, and nothing could proceed until the numbers were exactly right. And then you'd be taken through the doors and maybe counted again. And the prison officers were relaying numbers to each other. and the arithmetic had to come out exactly right.
Were you ever aware of any problems in the arithmetic?
Yes, there would be considerable delays sometimes. I'd be talking about Yatala now, when the numbers didn't come out right and they had to recount. They either had to establish that someone had done the arithmetic wrong, or of course they had to start searching for prisoners because there was a possibility someone had shot through. So, and it could be very annoying for everybody, this waiting while the numbers were got right. And it was very time-consuming. That's another of the reasons that the workday wasn't terribly long.
Some people have suggested there was a certain level of violence in the jail. Did you see any of that?
Not in Adelaide jail. There were some instances up at Yatala, and you heard about it as well, yes. You want...
we're now standing in a cell. Rob, can you remember where your cell was?
Well, we're in... The top wing of the new wing, and I think up on the first floor on the left-hand side, somewhere in the middle, is about where my cell was for that first week. But the exact number, I can't remember.
Did you have the cell to yourself, or did you have to share it with another?
On one night, I was sharing it with a young fellow who was in for a traffic offence. But otherwise, no, I wasn't sharing it.
So how long did you spend in here?
The nights of that one week, yes.
But in terms of hours, from when till when?
Well, it must have been from roughly 4:30 in the afternoon till 7:30 the next morning. It was a pretty long time, yeah. It didn't worry me too much because I don't mind the solitude, but it always impressed me that a lot of prisoners found it very difficult to be alone for so much of each day, especially if they didn't have the resources to keep themselves occupied for such long periods.
Did you have any resources here in that first week?
Well, I could read books, you see. So being locked up in a cell wasn't entirely unattractive to me. But a lot of people who didn't have interest in books or hobbies to pursue or whatever, who were more gregarious in their habits did find it very very trying.
Where did you get the books from? The library down in this wing, or were they some you were able to bring in from outside?
Well, I had some of my own, as well as access to the prison libraries, yes.
Was there a particular routine for putting prisoners in the cells and then sort of letting them out again?
Well, I think...
Well, I say one of the interviewees has suggested that one always listened to the clank of keys because you knew where the prison officers were.
Yeah.
Another one I suggested you try not to get into a routine because prisoners knew exactly where you were, so you varied things. Was there a routine for getting you in and out?
Well, I remember it as being a fairly humdrum routine, but the precise details now I've been in difficulty trying to describe, yeah. But with the long-term prison sentence in this and other jails, the impression I got was of considerable monotony and lack of variation, so that eventually you lost the sense of the passing of time. Your whole sense of time changed from what it was outside. You started to forget what day of the week it was. And the sense of the way time moved was different because of the sameness of each day.
You say weekdays were pretty much the same. How was it marked? Was, say, a Sunday any different from an ordinary day or a Tuesday?
Oh, Saturdays and Sundays were different because you weren't working and you got visits. So they were certainly different. But the working days were very, very much the same, yes. And monotony and boredom becomes a serious problem if you're in jail for a long time.
You say you got visits on particular days. How were you told you had a visit? Would an officer just come up to you and say, you've got a visitor out there, or was it only happen at particular times when numbers of prisoners might be detailed off to go and see their visitors?
Well, you had to be specifically told someone had turned up at the front gate to see you, yes. And then you had to be taken out to the visiting area, yeah.
Were there any rigmarole to go through, travelling from one part of the jail to the other?
Well, the endless rigmarole of going through main doors, opening, unlocking and relocking. And then, of course, there's when you're having visits, there's the security checks to see that you haven't received any goods from outside.
And presumably you had to be accompanied by a prison officer between one part of the jail and the other.
Yes, yes. Whenever you went from one major part to the other, you were accompanied. Yeah.
Pamela's asking whether Rob had been treated differently from other prisoners.
I asked not to be treated differently, and but in effect I was treated slightly better than most prisoners because a lot of the prison officers accepted that I was not the ordinary kind of prisoner, and also I had the sympathy of the state government at that time. I was imprisoned under federal laws, but under those laws I had to be held within the state prison system, but nevertheless the state government, Dunstan's government, was sympathetic to me, and the prison administration was aware of that, so I was treated somewhat better.
How was that better treatment manifest?
Things like when I first arrived at Yatala, I got one of the larger cells on the ground floor of A Division, which in the normal system I should have earned as a privilege. It was commented on by other prisoners that I must have had friends somewhere or had been making somebody happy to get one of those special cells straight away.
So you came in as a status prisoner from the word go?
Yes, yes, because of the state government's sympathy with my position. So I was in a better situation than draft resistors in the eastern states, where the state government, like the federal government, was not sympathetic.
You were pointing out a few other things here, Rob.
Well, we're standing inside one of the cells. There was the double bunk bed, as there is now, but it wasn't up against the window. It was down one of the side walls. There would have been slightly more furniture, a little cupboard in the corner. And I suppose the other notable feature of the prison furniture was the toilet bucket in the corner, which which was always regarded as one of the major indignities of all prisoners regarded that as offensive. They had to use that. in discussion with prison officers, the argument was always put forward that it would be terribly expensive to be put in proper toilets.
You suggested on one occasion when you were here, you shared the cell on one night.
Yeah.
Was that the first night?
No, it was in the middle of the period.
So what was it like? How do you think the other chappie felt if you were the person and he was sort of invading your little bit of privacy?
I don't think that was a worry. It was accepted that on some occasions you had to share a cell. Some prisoners didn't like it. They got very possessive about their cells, especially if they were in here a reasonable time, and resented having to share it because they set up their own little world. But I guess it depends on the personality. Some people would welcome having someone to talk to, having the company.
Did you have much control of what was in your cell? You've suggested the bed. You remember the bed being in a different, against a different wall. Could you arrange things a little differently? Could you decorate things a little?
Well, I didn't try to in the short time I was in Adelaide jail, but later, in longer term, up in Yatala, I saw that, of course, you could modify the interior of your cell to quite a remarkable extent if you're there a good time, and certainly, yes, decorate it and bring in all kinds of objects. Some people who had hobbies almost turned their cells into little craft shops and they made their own little home, trying to make themselves comfortable, which is only what you expect.
Did you have anything other than prison equipment or issue in here? I noticed that there is room for a radio, but I know some people had their own pieces of electrical equipment.
Well, some people did. I didn't. I think all I had was some books. But certainly, again, I probably, my memory is more of Yatala. You could bring in various items like radios and musical instruments and decorations for the walls, yeah.
You were in here for a week.
Yes.
Were you looking forward to getting out? What was it? How did it feel like when you had done time?
Well, of course, I was looking forward to getting out, and it was good to know that I was in here a brief time. It was a particularly good feeling walking out the front door in the everyday clothes, and being picked up by friends in a car out the front.
Had it changed your life at all? Did it give you new insights into things?
The one-week sentence, I wouldn't think it... I couldn't say that that had had a great effect, but the longer sentence, of which in effect was nearly 10 months, in the following year, 1972, yes, I think that changed me. Probably made me a stronger person. Also, I guess I'd had the kind of experience that I wouldn't have expected to have had. In a way, almost in a paradoxical way, an enriching experience, because ordinarily a person like me would not have seen the prison system.
Well, Rob, you came back here a second time. What were the circumstances of the second visit?
Well, the second time I was here, I arrived here on the 25th of February 1972, and then I had been sentenced to 18 months in jail for refusing to report at Keswick Barracks. So that was the major sentence for draft resistance. And on that occasion I spent a number of days in what I believe was then called the remand yard, which is, it's yard number 4. It's not the... the remand yard from the later years.
Do you have clearer recollections of this second visit?
I think they are clearer, yes. They get clearer as time progresses, yes. So I certainly remember being interviewed at the little booth just inside the door of yard four on the left by a rather friendly prison officer. Little glassed-in booth just inside the door of yard four, and a friendly prison officer was filling out papers and just talking to me as I came into this yard, and he was making gentle fun of me being a draft resister, asking me to make the peace sign and so forth. I looked more the part in those days because I had very long hair.
Yes, wait, lad. You just made a comment, Rob, about having long hair. Were you able to keep long hair whilst you were in jail?
Yes, a short time before I came to Adelaide Jail, the regulations were changed so that prisoners could keep their long hair, yes. So that would have been a matter of perhaps only months or a year or so before. So I and a lot of other prisoners had quite long hair. Mm.
So in your second visit, you hadn't seen this particular yard before, so it was new territory.
Yes, it was another new territory. I think I should make the point that I only saw parts of this jail, and until I came back here last year in 1988 on one of the open days for the general public, I had never really seen the whole of the jail. And that would be the situation for most prisoners. They would get to know certain areas of the jail, but other territories they would never see, no matter how long they were here.
Well, how did this particular yard function?
Well, a lot of the prisoners in this section were on remand waiting for their sentences. Others, like me, were just waiting to be transferred to Yatala. I was initially going to be here only a handful of days, but then there was a delay of a few days before I was taken away to Yatala, so I would have had a week or 10 days, I think, here. One of the points about this yard was that people here didn't do any regular work. They weren't taken out on work details because they were either on remand and so couldn't be required to work, or they were waiting for a transfer to another prison. So it was pretty much a case of people just standing around in this yard all day. And trying to amuse themselves.
Yeah. You said in the new building yard you sort of found a fellow traveller. Did you find anyone here that you found you were able to talk with a little more closely than others?
Well, I certainly didn't find another draft resister, but there were always a number of prisoners I could talk to. I didn't make any friends in this area. I did later in Yatala. But there were plenty I could have a conversation with, yeah. I wouldn't say I got close to any of the prisoners in Adelaide Jail. I made some friendships in Yatala. They didn't last afterwards, possibly because we came from such different backgrounds.
So what did you do? You just stand around? There is a few sort of sporty courts here. Did you involved in any of those?
I didn't take part in any of the sports, but again, as with the new wing, I just walked up and down on the asphalt to get exercise. The problem of finding things to do was more serious for the people kept in this yard because they didn't have regular work. On a couple of occasions, I was detailed to do some cleaning in the showers. And when I did get to Yatala, I had various kinds of work to do during the working week. But by the time I was here, very little.
Was the yard, as you remember it, pretty well as it is at the moment?
The main buildings with the colonnades, yes, they don't seem to have changed, but the smaller buildings, I'd be hard put to say what the exact changes are, but that transportable building on the far side on the far wall from the gate. That's new. I think down on the right wall, as you come in, there was a different arrangement of buildings, but I couldn't specifically say. The little old buildings on the left, I don't think they've changed. That was a...
Let's go into those.
Included a little library.
Now, we're now standing in what's probably recreation room in foreyard. Do you remember this at all, Rob?
Well, I remember it, but I don't know that I can say much of interest about what I saw here at that time. What I can comment on those prompted by the artwork that we can see here now, I don't think it was there then, but I could make the comment that it seemed a lot of prisoners had artistic talent and they had the time to develop it while they were in prison. So you got to meet a number of people painting or drawing or following up some craft.
Well, what was this area used for when you were here?
I think it was just a... I'm not sure. I think one of the rooms along here was just a sort of common room for chatting or sitting down. There might have been a shower block on this side as well as on the other, but I'm not sure.
You mentioned earlier you were detailed off to clean the showers on one occasion. Where were they?
Well, I think they were either on the right wall, and we're on the left at present. So
they've been removed, as far as you believe.
Well, if my memory is right, I guess they must have been removed since then.
Yeah, we're now standing in cell 17, which is on the right hand block when you're sort of facing with back to the entrance. It was around about here that Rob believes he had a cell there when he was here.
Well, this is the right hand block as you look from the gate, yeah. And somewhere on the ground floor in about the middle, I had a cell. And I had it to myself. What I particularly remember is the vaulted ceiling, if that's the word. That's not a particularly earth-shattering detail, but certainly impressed itself on my memory. And I think that I don't think the colour scheme has changed. This dreadful green. So I would have been here a week or so.
When you came in that first time, you knew you were only here for a week. You believe you could sort of do time without too much trouble. What was it like the second time?
Well, I was looking towards a much longer sentence. It was 18 months, but I expected it to be shorter with remissions, but I certainly expected to do more than a year. So although I had the foretaste a few months before with 1 week in jail, I still... wasn't sure how I would go with a much longer sentence. And, of course, there was also the fact that I'd only seen Adelaide Jail. I was looking to going to Yatala, and perhaps that was going to be much more fearsome. After all, that was where the long-term prisoners went and the major offenders.
So how did you prepare yourself for that?
Well, the whole business of refusing to comply with the National Service Act, I had simply, as it were, gritted my teeth and decided to put up with what the consequences were. So the preparation consisted largely of that, of trying to be able to take whatever came and hoping that it wasn't too bad.
You suggested earlier that the fact that you were here as a conscientious objector and the fact that the state government was in effect sympathetic to your cause gave you a few sorts of privileges as far as the officers were concerned. How did that react on the other prisoners?
No one ever expressed resentment at small signs of favouritism like that better cell that I mentioned up at Yatala. There was just some jokes made about it. A lot of the prison officers and a lot of the prisoners were sympathetic to my position and said so. Some prison officers and some prisoners were not sympathetic. Most of them confined themselves to making remarks behind my back. A few did say to me with varying degrees of vehemence that they didn't like me or my position, but I never suffered anything more than a very brief bit of verbal abuse. I was certainly never physically ill-treated. But as numbers went, more of the prison officers and more of the prisoners would have been sympathetic than not.
Why were you sent to Yatala rather than Cadell? Because you would have hardly been considered to have been a dangerous prisoner, I would have thought.
Well, although I was given favoured treatment in small ways, the general idea was that I should go through the normal sequence. So the normal sequence would be, after a very brief time in Adelaide, to go to Yatala for the start of the long term, and then for reasons of good behaviour and so on, to go on to Cadell. And I did spend the last 3 or 4 months in Cadell.
Zacho, you were only here in this cell for a couple of, well, a week or so in that second instance. What was it like when you had to clear out again and move over to Yatala? How did you feel moving out of the gates this time, not to freedom, but to another place that, you know, perhaps had gave different impressions?
Well, as I mentioned, I was still worried that Yatala was going to be a more fearsome place than Adelaide Jail. As it turned out, in many ways, it was a better place to stay. The facilities were better. But again, there was that nervousness about what was coming because of the move to Yatala, which had the worst reputation, I suppose. It was the South Australian jails.
And what did you travel with? They'd taken all your private possessions. Did you get back into your civilian clothes to go to Yatala, or did you go in your prison garb and have a little bag, or what?
I was simply taken in the prison garb. That was the one occasion I was handcuffed. I was handcuffed with another prisoner for the transfer to Yatala. And we were taken up there in a paddy wagon.
What happened with your other personal possessions that were here? Did they follow you or go with you?
They must have been sent with me because ultimately I got them back when I got out of Cadell. So they follow the prisoner around, yes.
Rob, you were just mentioning something about the food. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? What was the food like? Was it, I presume it was wholesome? Was there much variety?
Well, I remember jail food as being, you couldn't complain about the quantities. There was plenty of it. If you were a gourmet, you wouldn't be terribly happy, but I, for one, am not. I can eat just about anything, so I found that there was no lack of food and that I was satisfied by it. But it was basic food. The vegetables were overcooked. It was institution food. Yes. There was a reasonable variety around the week. I remember being amused by the published jail menus because they apparently had been written by someone with a fair knowledge of food and a fair wit as well, because they were given French names.
What do you mean published prison menus?
They put up a list of what was coming up. So you had phrases like au gratin, and someone had knew the restaurant business. But of course what you were getting was basic cooking. Oh, and food and drink. There was tea and coffee, which came in large quantities in steaming buckets, and tea and coffee were pretty horrible, but you got used to it and even started to look forward to it after a few weeks. There were rumours that they were putting stuff like bromide into it, but I think that was just a jail rumour. Something had to account for the strange taste.
So you were suggesting this was primarily only breakfast and dinner in here, but lunch was elsewhere.
Yes, lunch would have been in a lunchroom out at work. Well, I was working in the garden in that week late in 71. I'm not quite sure how we got our lunch here, but we wouldn't have had to come into our cells to eat it, no. Up at Yatala there was a large dining, well, a large cafeteria sort of room where you had your lunch.
When you were here on remand in this yard here, was it reasonably full? Or how many other people would there have been here?
I remember a fair number of blokes here. It seemed to be quite a lot. I couldn't give you the exact numbers, but it seemed to quite a few. It was fairly noisy. Quite a lot going on with sports and games and guys walking up and down for exercise and some people having a bit of work to do. And little groups chatting away.
Was there any difference between people on remand in here who were had yet to go to the courts and those who had come from the courts and were going elsewhere?
Well, I don't suppose I could generalise about differences in their character or anything, but their position was certainly different. The people on remand were playing this waiting game, which could be very long, and they were often bored and frustrated and suffering a lot of worry about the life they'd be forced to leave outside. Everything is pending this court case that's coming up and not necessarily coming up in a great hurry either.
So did that manifest itself in what was happening outside there? I.e., were those people sort of more worried and more introverted? I think from those who knew their fate might have been getting on with life.
Well, the others here were mostly in my position, that they were just waiting here a few days before they went on to another prison, so they couldn't get very committed to any kind of life in this particular part of the jail either. So it's very this area was very much a limbo, really, where you're waiting for a more definite style of life.
Just one question, Rob. What can you remember of the weather? I gather weather must have meant a lot when you were here, because if you were either in your cell or you were out in the open, can you remember, it was bright, sunny, or was it dark and dull and wet?
Well, for the brief time I was in Adelaide jail, I certainly cannot remember details of the weather, but I do remember from staying in Adelaide jail and Yatala that how important the sky was, because it's the only part of the outside world you could see. And in Yatala, I almost lost a sense of Adelaide's existence because I was surrounded with high walls. It was though I was in an enclosed, almost, it was a principality almost, because of the way it was run, with its hierarchy of prison officers and so on. And you heard reports of the outside world and you got a visit once every week or every fortnight or every month. But you couldn't see that the city of Adelaide was just over the wall. And you couldn't see from here in Adelaide, although for the first week I was out in the garden, of course. So the sky and the weather were important, yes. You got more and more interested in small ways of making yourself comfortable. So sunshine was important, and your cup of Milo at night was important, and all kinds of little things. And other prisoners too looked to their little comforts, little ways of cheering themselves up.
We're now standing in the garden, which Rob has a few little things he would like to tell us about that.
Well, this is where I worked during that week of my first experience of jail life in late 1971. So I guess I came out here on 5 working days. We were brought out in a group, marched after we'd been through all the doors and all the unlocking and locking of doors and all the counting. We were brought down here in a group. I remember that the prison officer in charge of a work gang was dressed in khaki rather than the darker uniform of the usual run of warders. I think he also had a different style of hat, more like something like a digger's hat rather than a prison warder's cap. And we did a little bit of work in the vegetable garden here. It certainly wasn't hard and it wasn't lengthy, and there were smokos and there was the lunch break, and it was all very easy indeed. I can't remember whether technically I was sentenced to hard labour, but at no stage in my time in jail was I doing genuinely hard labour. Work was a matter of a few hours a day and it wasn't terribly demanding. It was good to be out here in the open air and to be able to see the city and have the trains going past, and to not feel so cut off from normal life. Do you have any questions?
How did you feel out here working with the trains going? You said from your point of view you sort of enjoyed it. Did you feel yourself you're a little thing of exhibition or fun or curiosity from the people in the train going past?
Well, I suppose it must have been all those things. They did look at you as they went past in the train. It wasn't just unmixed enjoyment to be out in the open air. There was still the sense that you were cut off. You had the fence with the barbed wire, and the knowledge that you could look at the normal world, but you couldn't be part of it.
So how many would have been working out here at any one time? Are we talking in terms of 15 or 115 or what?
Perhaps 15 or 20 people. So because of that number and the comparative smallness of this garden, again, it wasn't a very demanding form of work, and there was plenty of time to idle around and have a smoke and a chat. The work consisted, all I remember is just a very basic business of weeding up and down the rows and not being required to move particularly fast as I did it. So.
Now, there's a whole host of little sheds here, and some have got names such as dining rooms. You obviously had your meal out here. Were there tables and chairs, and how did the meal get out here?
I really can't remember. I'm sorry, I can't remember the precise details of how the meal was brought here. I suppose it was brought out in some kind of trolley. It would have been brought out with metal plates and covered over with a metal cover to keep it hot. And there would have been the usual buckets of coffee and tea. There were benches around the edges, I think, of this dining room. But I can't remember tables. Again, I'm not at all helpful on the material details. I remember the prison officer in charge of this working group being quite an affable bloke and a kind-hearted fellow. There was one Aboriginal prisoner who was... he was deformed, really, and not able to walk very well. And there was an Aboriginal prisoner who was very tiny and he was deformed, really, and he couldn't walk very fast, and he couldn't keep up with the work gang as it walked down from the jail or as it returned, and he was simply allowed to make his own way as best he could. And the prison officer was quite kind-hearted to him. A lot of the officers took the attitude that if they could get on reasonably well with the prisoners and the prisoners were willing to get through the day without trouble. Everybody would be happy if the whole show could be as little a matter of stress as possible. That was an attitude of a lot of the prisoners as well. If they could get through the day without any serious miseries, fair enough. So it could work well for both the warders and the prisoners. But there was, of course, constant sources of stress on both sides. Another memory I have of this garden is that a pair of wild ducks were nesting in the garden. And so their flights back and forth were a subject of constant interest, and there was Aboriginal prisoners commenting on that, talking about how the male duck had brought the female home on one of his flights. I don't know why that stuck in my memory. Perhaps it's because it was the natural world coming into this place, which was a jail.
Rob, if you can just elaborate on sort of communication with the outside. You're presumably allowed to write letters, allowed to receive letters. Now, I guess all these were scrutinised by prison officers and people like that. Did you find that a bugbear, or how did you cope with that?
I was allowed to write, I think it was one letter a week out while I was in Adelaide and Yatala. When I got to Cadell, the number of letters was unlimited, so I started writing heaps of letters. I received lots of letters from family and friends. That all the letters was scrutinised. Yes, there was a censorship. I understood that I should be somewhat guarded about what I said in letters going out. And as I found out afterwards, some of the letters sent in to me never reached me because they were hostile letters, because I was taking a political stance. Some abusive letters were coming. Well, they never got to me. But I know they were coming in because some went to my home address and some went to my parents. Knowing that the letters were censored, I suppose it caused slight embarrassment when you're writing and receiving letters from family and friends. And also it makes you a bit guarded in what you write, yes. It's just another of the restrictions that are so much a part of what jail's about anyway.